Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's Pentecost Sunday, and our gospel reading this morning ties nicely into where we've been as we've gone through the season of Easter. We've looked at the hope, that assured expectation or promise from God that we have that is sealed for us through the resurrection of Jesus, and also was sealed to us by the giving of the Holy Spirit. In the last 2 weeks, we talked about the coming of the Holy Spirit and what Jesus had told his disciples to expect. Part of that is found in our gospel this morning, John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39, where Jesus stood up on the last day of the feast, the great day, and he proclaimed, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." And what does he follow that up with? What is he talking about? Well, he's talking about listening to him and then putting trust in him. And so he continues and says, "Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow living waters." Well, with these verses, we are introduced to the basics of Christian doctrine and coming to faith. The first thing is, the Word speaks. In this case, the living Word, Jesus speaks. What is our role in this? Listen. But then, as we've seen in the last 2 weeks, that's where the Holy Spirit goes to work. It is the Holy Spirit that takes that Word and works on our heart and creates faith in our heart. And Jesus says that that faith is going to result in action. Action. Living waters will flow out of the heart of this person. We heard how Jeremiah says that the heart is deceitful above all things, so we're dealing with a radical transformation here, to go from the most deceitful thing to something out of which is flowing living waters. And Jesus then continues. "Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who had believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus had not been glorified." Now what is meant by "Jesus has not been glorified"? Well, that's simply speaking about his resurrection and his ascension into heaven. Both of those bring glory to Jesus because both of those separate Jesus from all other humans. But it also introduces us to a dilemma. A dilemma that I've had many people ask me questions about. If it's the Holy Spirit who works faith in our hearts, then what about those disciples at that time? Did they not have the Holy Spirit? Did they not have faith? Because John wrote, "For as yet the Spirit had not been given." And the answer is very simple. Yes. Yes, they had faith. Yes, they had the Holy Spirit. All the Old Testament greats had faith. They all had the Holy Spirit working faith in their hearts. But this is where now Pentecost is literally opening a whole new chapter in God's plan for us. This is where we turn to that verse that we looked at last week, where Jesus, right before he ascended into heaven, told his disciples, "Go back to Jerusalem and wait, and the Holy Spirit will come on you with power." And here is the difference. The Holy Spirit, going all the way back to the Garden of Eden, was alive and well and working faith in the hearts of those who put their faith, hope, and trust in God for their salvation. But now the Holy Spirit is going to take on an added role. Power. And when you look at Acts 1 verse 8, we see Jesus cultivating the field for his disciples. Because when he says, return to Jerusalem and wait, it's a call for obedience. And they pass the test. They return to Jerusalem, which was not their hometown. The majority of them were from Galilee, from Capernaum in particular. Secondly, when they returned, we read they were all of one accord. Well, now, having unity like that is very special. And it's what Jesus had called on them to do and to be, is unified. It also shows that they understood what Jesus said because they had a purpose. They devoted themselves to prayer. And we see that it was a diverse group. Now, not diverse by today's standards, which wants to ignore God's word and, you know, take in everything and everybody that embraces any sort of lifestyle they want. No, we see it was diverse because we read that the 11 apostles were together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers, about 120 people. So this is a diverse group. And the disciples prepared. They realized Jesus had chosen 12. One was gone. If Jesus chose 12, there was probably a need for 12. It was also very symbolic, going back to the Old Testament and the 12 tribes of Israel. And so they chose a 12th. Now, why were they doing all of this? Because Jesus said, return to Jerusalem and wait there for when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And he will come with power. And that's exactly what we see in our reading this morning. And suddenly, there came from heaven. So this is directional. Okay? It's much like here in Lodi. If you are downtown, you can hear a train coming before it ever gets here, and you can hear exactly what direction it's coming from. Well, this sound is coming from heaven straight down. They hear it coming. And this sound was like a mighty rushing wind. Key word, like. It was not a wind. It was just the sound of a tornado coming down from heaven. They heard it coming, and it hits. It's powerful. It's not a little breeze sound. And with it, we begin an introduction into some real neat wordplay. First off, wind. In the Hebrew language, it's ruach, and it is translated as wind, word, breath, spirit. We see it all coming together in Ezekiel chapter 37, that kind of bizarre scripture where Ezekiel is taken by the Spirit and shown this valley of, quote, very dry bones. It appears that it's an old battlefield where all the corpses have rotted and there's nothing but very, very dry bones left. And the Holy Spirit says to Ezekiel, I will cause breath to enter you and you will live. Now he's speaking to the dry bones. This is what the Spirit says. But notice, it's literally saying, and the Spirit told Ezekiel to speak to the dry bones and said, I will cause breath or spirit to enter you and you will live. It then continues. This breath will come from the four winds, or the spirit will come from the four winds. and breathe on these slain that they may live. Well, coming from the four corners of the earth, the four corners were known as the four foundations of the earth. And what is the foundation of the earth literally? It's God holding it up. It's God who created it. And so from heaven, from God, comes this spirit, this wind, this breath that brings life to that which was dead. And the spirit continues and says, I will put my spirit in you, speaking to those dry bones. I will put my spirit in you and you shall live. There's a huge thing there for us, a lesson for us in the terms of, again, basic Christian doctrine. It is God who puts his spirit in us. It's not us putting the spirit in. It's not us accepting. It's him doing. And we live. And this is very dichotomous in nature. First of all, yes, it's speaking about Pentecost. How those who were dead in sin, disciples, would live for him, be empowered by the Holy Spirit. But also speaking of Judgment Day, when these bones will be raised and given new life and live with him forever. And so, on that Pentecost, when this sound, this mighty sound comes down from heaven like the sound of a tornado, and it comes down on this house, we read, it filled the entire house where they were sitting. They weren't up active, they were just sitting, and it divided tongues as a fire appearing to them and resting on each one of them. Now Luke kind of picks up on the Hebrew idea here, and he begins a little wordplay. He's very well educated, but let's remember really what's happening here. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1 verse 21, we read that, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of men, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So Luke, filled with the Holy Spirit, is writing, and he makes this great comparison. He uses tongues, speak, and utterance, three unique words that involve the mouth. They, quote, began to speak. Next, as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance, and this coming of the Spirit appeared like tongues, again, the mouth, as a fire. But they weren't fire because it did not burn them. This triple emphasis of speak, utterance, tongues. Three, Trinity, God. It's God coming to their mouths. And that's probably where those tongues came to rest as a sign to the disciples that God's word was to come out of them. This is God at work through their mouths, and the message is speak. And speak they did. As we read, now they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. That's because this is the second great feast. Pentecost, 50 days after Passover. So Jerusalem was packed. And at this sound, that sound came down, went out, all Jerusalem heard it, and we read, the multitude came together and they were bewildered. Because there was the sound of the wind, but there was no wind. And each one was hearing them speak in his own language. Now you heard the whole list there of all the different people from all around the world who heard. And they heard no one language and they said, how can this be? Are these not Galileans? And this is not a compliment. This is saying, aren't these some of those guys from the north that aren't real educated, a bunch of fishermen? And they continued, how is it we hear each one of us in his own native language? The message here being given by God through the Holy Spirit is, this gospel is for all of you, for Medes, for Persians, for Romans, for Jews, for Gentiles. It's for everyone. And we read, all were amazed and perplexed, and they asked, what does this mean? They were seeing a miracle, and they want to know, what's this all about? And enter something that we still have to this day. I remember being at a pastor's conference once. I forget the name of the gentleman who spoke about these. It's a certain type of people. He called them joy suckers. They suck the joy out of every moment. They suck the joy out of ministry. And in here, they suck the power away from what is happening. And they say, they're filled with new wine. In other words, they're drunk. I want you to think of the absurdity of that. Since when does someone who's drunk become fluent in other languages? They usually lose their fluency in their own language. So it's just absolutely ridiculous. It's what I like to call the MBBS syndrome, the man born blind syndrome. Back in the Gospel of John, there's a man born blind. Jesus heals him. And when the religious leaders, the joy suckers, hear of it, they tell this man, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. And that man comes back and he gives one of the most profound statements there is to these religious leaders. He says, why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. You see, the blind man saw the truth. This was God in action. He saw Jesus as God. And the religious leaders wanted to discount it. Just as those who saw these disciples speaking in every language wanted to discount the work of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to think about what Jesus says the unforgivable sin is. It's the sin against the Spirit. To deny what the Spirit is doing. And what we have here now is a very unique situation. Something we're going to build off of in the weeks to come. The field is set. It's not a baseball field. It's not a football field. It's a field for harvest. And in that field of harvest, you have the joy suckers. And they are filled with the Spirit. They're filled with a spirit. An evil spirit. And you have the disciples filled with the Holy Spirit. And there's a battle that's about to ensue. And that's why this sermon is titled, Ready, Set, Go. Because we're going to see those disciples go. Go into battle, go into the harvest field. And go to work through the power of the Holy Spirit. Welcome to the book of Acts, one of the most exciting books in the Bible. And in the weeks to come, we are going to follow those disciples, just as Jesus said, from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Why? Because now they have the Holy Spirit, who has been working faith in their hearts, but has now come with power. In our Savior's name, amen. Receive now God's blessing. May the Lord God bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. And as we bring this service to a close, as we have done the last several weeks, we will again sing a song together. It is hymn number 649, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. Again, Gene will introduce it, and then we will sing three verses, which again will be printed on the screen for you. And following the hymn, we'll again have some announcements regarding the reopening of our church, the ministries that are going on, and how you can be a part of Bible study, be a part of church, and be a part of the disciples who go into that harvest field. May God bless you as you go into the week ahead. Amen.